Turn to Revelation chapter 22. One reason why we didn't take the time to have them tell you where they're from is because we get a little redundant. All of these students in our group grew up together. I think they're within 2 years of each other, starting back in K3, K4, kindergarten, all the way through. So my biggest challenge getting here was not keeping the van on the road from the wind, was keeping them from fighting like brothers and sisters. There's already a couple in here anyway. That's the challenge. But Dr. Jeff Fogelin really invested brass. He starts teaching students brass in fourth grade. And so he's really invested untold hours of his life back in elementary band, listening to the wonderful sounds of the fourth grade brass students. And encouraging them to put their practice time in when they didn't feel like it, encouraging them to get extra lessons, giving opportunities for them to play in nursing homes and in Sunday school. And he really has made a big difference in a lot of our young people and their music. So we're thankful for him. They all came up through his teaching, and we trust the Lord can use to bless people. And so they're all pretty much around from each other. So there's no unique things other than the Olsons did head to Africa for a while and back with us now. So thank you for letting us come again. Pastor Fritz has always been so gracious to allow us to come here time and time again. Just had got out of school when Brother Chad came, and sure blessed by being able to see him in college and then see he and Leanne and the kids and the work they're doing for the Lord, church plant out of this church. That's a real blessing. I mean, one other thing that I do is field the calls for people that need staff, teachers, churches that need pastors. And I was telling someone earlier this week that I think in the last 10 days, I think I got about 9 or 10 calls or emails. Do you have a teacher? We have a couple churches within an hour of us that need a pastor, and they've been without one for a while. So the Bible's true when it says the fields are white to harvest, for sure. And the Bible doesn't just tell us to throw up our hands, though. It does tell us to pray for laborers. And that's the Lord's admonition to us. And what happens, I think, we pray. We get stirred up about it, and our churches see the need. And as a young man, a church I grew up in, I don't know what led our pastor to do this, but he had that phrase on the back wall of the front wall of the auditorium all the years I was there, and that was pray for laborers. And He's the Lord of the harvest, and He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. But what a crying need there is. Not just for churches that already exist to have someone come in, but for new churches to be started. And so the population of the world's growing, and boy, we'd love to see a new continued army of servants of the Lord go out and meet that need. And what a blessing to come into farm country, right? Farm country, but then Sunday night to be in a house of the Lord that's filled up. That's a you don't know what a blessing that is. That's just a tremendous encouragement to see faithfulness in the Lord's house and to see so many here. We've enjoyed seeing Charity. Good to see you, and pray for Serenity and Lee as well. It's good to have them in school for a bit, and Mercy now. We tried to surprise everybody, but hey, I think they're still glad you're here. So glad to have Mercy jump in the van with us and come out here for the evening. Exciting to hear about the trip to see Nathan. So pray that that will go well. And yeah, it's a tremendous to see the Lord using people in the field all around the world. There's such a great need. Well, and I thank also our family. I have two of my kids here. I have two others at home. And so I guess on behalf of all of them, we owe Mr. Van Raden thanks for doing his part to keep me and my kids healthy with the vegetable donations. So I guess it's only shame on me if I pass those healthy vegetables and make my way to the ice cream one too many times. But you've done your part, so Thank you for keeping the Armacosts, at least trying to keep us. You add some years to our life for that. So saw that plant on the way in. That's huge. That's amazing. So anyway, we appreciate the friendship through the years. And I guess I would think of First Baptist of Amboy and Pastor Fritz. The word that comes to my mind is steadfast. And I think that's that's what the Lord tells us to do. Steadfastness, will take us through the inevitable ups and downs that we're all going to face in life. And those are going to come. Those trials, sometimes the billows o'er us roll, as the Bible says. But boy, just that relationship with the Lord and just the commitment to be steadfast in His work. We don't often see the reaping right away, but the Bible, I love that phrase, in due season. In due season, and the Lord's in charge of that season. He's in charge of that time. In due season, we shall reap. And that's a promise from God, just like whosoever will be saved is a promise from God. And so in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So praise the Lord for this. Thank you for the opportunity and for allowing us to come here and to share with you here in your service this evening. So we'll look here at Revelation chapter 22. And we'll begin reading in verse 12. And I'd like to speak with you this evening on the topic, important last words. Important last words. Obviously, we're in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. And we're in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, which means we're going to hear the last right here. And in this chapter, we're going to hear the last words of Jesus Christ for us. When we think of last words, a lot's made out of someone. What was their last words? Especially a famous person. What's the last thing that they said before they died, before they passed away? And you can look that up and you can find some interesting things. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. But it hit me too that someday all of us will utter our last words. We'll say our last at some point. We don't always know when that's going to be. But we have the last words of Jesus Christ for us. And if you have the words of Christ in red in your Bible, you'll see some probably here in this chapter. Let's start reading here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Of course, Revelation, the first chapter of the book is an introduction to it. Chapters 2 and 3 are letters from the Lord to churches. Some things they needed to work on, some things they were doing good, some things they needed to stop doing altogether. And then Revelation 4 and 5, we have a picture of the rapture. And then Revelation 6 through 19, we have a 7-year time period of the tribulation. Then we get to Revelation chapter 20 and 21, the final judgment, the millennium time period, the final judgment. And then a picture of the new heaven and the new earth. And now to close out this prophecy of what's coming ahead, Jesus gives us these last words. And just like we would lean forward if someone we knew was passing away and they wanted to say one last thing to us, just like we'd lean forward and pay close attention, I think that'd be good for us to do here this evening when we consider these last words of Jesus for us. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And then down to verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Those last words in verse 20, surely I come quickly. Let's look to the Lord in prayer if we can. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this church gathered together. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony it's been for so many years of faithfulness, service to you, desire to see other churches planted and send forth people to mission fields and young people to Bible college. And we thank you, God, for all that's been done here through this church. I pray, Lord, tonight as we look at your last words to us, that we might be challenged once again, Lord, with the offer of salvation, and Lord, with your reminder that you're coming back soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last words. I don't know what my dad's last words were, but I do know what the last words I heard him say. He passed away in September, and one of our, I believe, our last phone conversation was this. He had, for the last little bit of his life, been in a home and had about 80 or 90 residents, and a man faithfully came every week on Sunday and Wednesday night to hold church services there. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness there. And boy, he held on to those church services. He looked forward to those every week and never missed, and wheeled himself down there with his Bible. And you know, he was looking around, and he still heard the preaching about being a witness. And so he called my mom and said, order me a case of Bibles. Not a case, order me 100 Bibles. I'm giving one to every person in the home here. And she said, okay, the whole Bible? And are you sure? Do you know who's going to take one? And he said, I don't care. Get me a Bible for everybody in this place. And so she called me up and said, what do you think? I said, well, amen. What a blessing. She said, do you think maybe we should start with a nice size, nice cover, like a New Testament, just in case we're not just throwing money away if somebody just takes the Bible and they don't care about it? I said, sure, that's fine. So we got into the CBD, the Christian Book Distributor website, and found a real nice New Testament. I think it had a dove on the front of it, and really nice, kind of bigger, almost the size of a Bible. And she brought those to him, and he looked at them, and he said, I thought I said I wanted the whole Bible. And I called him up and called a lot, and he was somewhat, you know, disconcerted. I want the whole Bible. I mean, is the whole Bible important? I said, it is, Dad. It's important. Not long after that, he passed away, and boy, he loved the Lord. His good testimony, and we hadn't quite got the order for the whole Bibles, but sure enough, I brought home with me a big case of these nice New Testaments, and I've enjoyed passing them out to some kids that ride our bus, and God's Word's still going to go out just in a different way, in a different place. And so I thought about last words. That's a good memory, you know, for me to have. But last words, hey, let's get the Bible out. And you know what? Don't give me the New Testament. Give me the whole thing. Famous last words. He got burdened for his fellow graduates. He graduated from Westminster High School in Westminster, Maryland in 1956 and joined the Air Force right out of high school. Was led to the Lord as a just after basic training in the Air Force. Led the Lord and got connected with the navigators who helped him disciple him with Bible studies regularly while he was based out of Turkey, and came back and years later he remembered those high school graduates, and so he got a hold of the high school and he said, I want the names and addresses of all of my fellow graduates. It took some time. It was not easy, and they had to go back, and he wrote every one of them a letter and put in there a gospel tract and with a plea for salvation. And later on, somebody preached a message, and they said, you know what? You ought to think about people that need the Lord that you know and do something about it. And so I remember it. He went back and he said, I just started writing a list of names. He said, I wrote down who I knew. I told the Lord, I'm going to go to every single one of those people. I'm going to give them a track. I'm going to try to witness to them and at least invite them to come to church with me. And he worked his way down through that list. Frankly, pretty discouraged about some of it because some people, hardly anybody really cared about that. But he was burdened and wanted to see that done. And this is a good testimony. And remember those things. And because when we get convinced of a couple things from this chapter, sometimes it enables us to take action. And we remember the last thing that Jesus said is, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. We think, what a great message that is. Who needs that message? Who knows that message? Well, I do. Who needs it? Well, I know of some people that need it. How are they going to get that message? And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the Lord taps us on the shoulder. That's where the Lord says, well, I saved you. How about if you tell them that last words that I gave? How about if you go out and do that? And remember, as his final words, I'm coming back quickly. Our time on this earth, sometimes they say the days seem long, but the years we know are short. Right? If you're like me, when 2019 rolled around, I'm like, where did 2018 go? That was fast. And now we're all 2 months into 2019, and I'm just getting used to writing that date down, adding the 9 instead of the 8. This year is going to go by just as fast, if not faster. They interviewed a bunch of executives about 25 years ago, and they asked them all this question: what do you wish you knew? What do you know now? Do you wish someone had told you 25 years ago? And they put all their answers in a book. And it's interesting. It's easy to read, but it's just interesting to hear what people say. One person said this: she said, "I wish someone had told me that when I turned 40, time would go twice as fast as it had up to this point. And when I turned 50, it would go 10 times as fast." I thought that was interesting. As they're growing up in years, they're looking back and, wow, time's going by quickly. That's why Jesus left his last words for us was, surely I come quickly. There's a time element here. There's an urgency in the time that we have on this earth. One man illustrated it like this, that I never forgot as a young man. We were in a Christian school chapel, and he came in. He said, let me try to picture eternity for you here. Let's say I have a line right here that starts at my hand and goes that way forever. He says, and let's say that this line represents years. Maybe every inch is 1 year. Say I come over here and I cut 70 inches off this line. And I come over here now, he says, but the line is still just as long as it was before I took those 70 years off. Eternity never ends. And our time on this earth is so short, yet so critical. So much of eternity hinges on what we do with the Lord's words on this earth. Such a short time, but such an important time. So easy to treat our time here on this earth with a kind of a flippant attitude. And, well, maybe, maybe not. Or maybe I'll be faithful to church, maybe not. Maybe I'll serve God, maybe I won't. Yet it's so critical. It's all that we have. It's all that we have to take to eternity with us is our brief time on this earth. And Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. And I'm coming back quickly. This final invitation to come that Jesus gives, this invitation to come proves to us that the gate to heaven is open and Jesus is beckoning sinners to come to it. He wants people to join him in heaven. It's a wonderful place. We sing heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven's a wonderful place. God the Father's on the throne of heaven. And he wants the lost to come. He sent his Son to seek and to save those that were lost. In the Holy Spirit, the Bible here says, the Spirit says, come. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each member of the Trinity is involved with this invitation to come. The Bible says there's a gate in the city here. There's the gates, verse 14. But we know if there's gates, then there's walls as well. There's no gate without a wall. And the Bible says in verse 15, there are people on the outside of the wall. Verse 15, for without, or on the outside. Not everyone's passed through the gate of salvation. Not everyone has accepted that free gift. On the outside, there's people that are listed here, ending with whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. This verse reminds us of Revelation 21:8, that also gives us a list of those who face the second death. And the reason why they face the second death is this sin has not been paid for. They've not accepted the payment of their sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because they're not invited. It's not because the work has not been done. The invitation is given by each member of the Trinity. Who's on the inside? Those that have responded yes to the call of whosoever will. Who's on the outside? Those that for some reason are trying to get in on their own. And John tells us that there are those that try to come by a different way other than the gate. They're thieves, they're robbers, the Bible says. It's not because the Lord Jesus Christ is not willing that they come. He beckons everyone. The Spirit prods. But the prince of this world is at work. He is at work trying to make people at home in this fallen world. He's at work trying to make people say, you know, the best thing you can do in this world is just to get all you can get to fulfill the lust of your flesh, because when you die, you don't get to do that. He's a master. He's a master of deceit. He's a master of lies. And he puts before us sin as though it's permanent fun, when the Bible tells us the pleasures of sin last just for a season. And then comes the reaping. The prince of this world is persuading those to stay away from the gate. And he's hard at work. Look around in our society. We live in Northwest Indiana, so our steady diet of news comes from downtown Chicago. WBBM. And to hear what Illinois is trying to do with regard to human life, to hear about what's happening in our society, we shake our heads. And how can that happen? Well, how that can happen is because we're just starting to see the tip of the diabolical nature of the devil, of the filthiness that he is. And he's going to take it as far as he possibly can, including getting people to reject the offer of salvation outside the gate. It's not a safe place. It's a place of danger. Oh, the devil wants you to say, you step inside the church, your life's going to change. They're going to make you some holy roller in there. You're not going to have any more fun. Can a Christian have fun? I think Christians are the only ones that can have true fun. That's what I believe. And I think the life of Bible-believing Christians prove that out. Just get together, group of Christians, throw a little food out there. I mean, we're good to go. What else do we need? God's good to us. So enjoyable to have fun apart from the filth of this world. Just to have good, clean Christian fellowship and fun. The longer a person knows the way to eternal life but ignores it, the more difficult it becomes for them to enter that gate. Our years tend to harden us. Not just for salvation, but also for the service of the Lord. Just our human nature tends to make us comfortable where we're at. That's why it's good to have, as I saw in the church schedule, some revival services, some men's meetings to come together faithfully to church and to sing out. All these things work together to keep our hearts warm toward the things of God and towards the things of eternity. There's one area which we're all the same in this room. We're different in a lot of ways, but in one area we're all the same, and that's this. Every one of us today is one day closer to eternity than we were yesterday. Tomorrow's going to be the same thing. We don't get today back. We don't get this last week back. We're about to be done with February 2019, and we'll never see it again. And we are marching toward eternity. So the invitation to come is not limited to some. It's for whosoever. The hymn says this: there's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in His justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in His blood. The simple plan of salvation. It's a wonderful truth, and we have it, and we can share it. Let me conclude here with just a couple final thoughts. Charles Spurgeon said this: one of the most awful regrets you will ever have when you come to your right sense and reason in another world will be the feeling that you had an opportunity, but that you neglected it. I think that feeling, that thought, will go through the mind of those that have heard the plan of salvation but said no. In eternity, I had an opportunity, but I neglected it. I rejected it. I think that thought alone would make eternity horrible. I think that same thought, before we enter into eternal rest, is going to be coming to our mind when we're judged at the judgment seat for the opportunities that we had, the opportunities that were there. And there'll be loss there at that judgment. There'll be some loss at an opportunity. And what is our opportunity? Well, for one thing, our opportunity is the time that God's given to us. The people around us, the people that only I know, the people that only you know, they are a responsibility. They're an opportunity for us. Some famous last words. Henry Ward Beecher, when he was about to die, he was quoted as saying, "Now comes the mystery." King Louis XIV, King of France, said this, "Why do you weep? Did you think I was immortal?" Elizabeth I, Queen of England, "All my possessions for a moment of time." And then we have D.L. Moody, who said this: "I see earth receding, heaven is opening, God is calling me." Probably 12 or so years ago, in the fall on our buses, we do a field trips, four of them, and one of them is to the zoo in Chicago. So church gets out, we take the kids to Chicago to the zoo, and then we're up there for about 10 minutes. No, I'm kidding. But we're about an hour and a half to see what we can see, and then we get back home. For us, our route's on the other side, east of Chesterton, so it's a long, long day. Usually we drop the last bus rider off at about 5:15, and then we zip back and we walk into our evening church service, just really alive, alert, and awake, ready to hear the song, sing the songs of Zion and hear the preaching. Well, we make it back in body, at least, for the church service. So on one zoo day, after church, we had a good service, took the kids to the zoo, safely got them all home, dropped the last boy off. His name was Juan. He always wanted to sit in the front, right behind the driver. Sometimes we have a lot of kids come, so I was driving the bus that day. He liked to sit up front and talk the whole way home, and he was talker, 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 talker. And he didn't care about the other kids. He's 9 years old. I'm like, "Don't you like other kids?" He's my buddy all the way home. So he had a big smile. Big face, big smile. And he's from, he and his little sister Isabel came with their mom. Sent them. She came every once in a while, but no dad. So he, I think, craved that fellowship. And so he'd been in third grade junior church, made a profession of faith. So we dropped him off. We get to church. Whew, long day. Monday afternoon, I got a phone call from his mom, and that day, about noon in the lunchroom, he was eating a corn dog at school lunch, swallowed it wrong, fell over, and that was it. He passed away right there. Of course, that funeral was huge. They did it in a way where they had the casket there, and then just the community just kind of passed through. It was right down there near where his school was at. You know, I didn't know. We don't know. I didn't know that that was the last time that I was going to say, "Hey, see you next week," to that little 9-year-old boy. But I wasn't going to see him next week. Thank the Lord that he said yes to the whosoever will call. So it won't be next week that I see him, but one day, get up there, and there he is, smiling big, probably, I don't know, as much as he liked to talk, maybe I'll take the first 10 million years and we'll just sit in the corner and he and I can chat about something, I don't know. I don't know if we're still going to be like we are here or not. Hopefully not too much. Wait a second, I think I just heard my wife say amen all the way from Chesterton. But you know, eternity's coming. And that story, you know, you might not have that same story, but you have a story like that too, where eternity kind of is really real to us. If we're not careful, then eternity sort of becomes a distant thing to us. And that whosoever will message maybe gets left unsaid as much as it should. And maybe the things of this world do become more important to us. Let's remind ourselves of these important last words. Lean forward and hear these last words of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Whosoever will, it's a message we can take with us. And surely I come quickly. Let's not let the opportunities pass. Thank you.